This is Donna of Donna and Honey's Love Motel, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we're going to hear about the first of three elections, one every 2 months until November. This was a primary election for governor, lieutenant governor, and some assembly seats. We'll hear the results of the election, and we'll also hear a report from Rensselaer County about how it was voting disabled in Rensselaer County, and it wasn't easy. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Sunday, July 3rd, world-renowned harpist Mary Lattimore performs at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock at 8 p.m., and you can find out all about the event on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. Lattimore has played harp on records with Kurt Vile, Thurston Moore, Sharon Van Etten, Meg Baird, and many others, and comes from Los Angeles to Woodstock on Sunday, July 3rd at the Colony Cafe at 8 p.m. Go to WGXC.org in the community calendar to find out more about this event and many others.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The Times Union reports that incumbent Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul and Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado won their primary elections. They'll face Republican Congressperson Lee Zeldin and Allison Esposito in November. Locally, there was an upset as progressive candidate Sarahana Shrista currently leads incumbent Kevin Cahill in the Democratic primary for the 103rd Assembly District, which includes parts of Ulster and Dutchess counties. Absentee ballots still could sway that race. Hochul, with about 67% of the vote, beat Jumaane Williams with about 20% of the votes cast, and Thomas Suozzi finishing with about 13% of the votes. In the Republican contest for governor, Congressperson Lee Zeldin, who voted against certifying the 2020 presidential election, bested Rudy Giuliani's son Andrew, former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, and upstate businessperson Harry Wilson. With Zeldin getting about 44% of the votes, Giuliani at 23%, Astorino at 18%, and Wilson at 14%. For lieutenant governor, Delgado got about 60% of that vote. Progressive Ana Maria Arquilla received about 25% of votes cast, and New York City's Diana Reyna at about 14%. Allison Esposito was unopposed for the Republican nomination for lieutenant governor. 30-year incumbent assemblyperson Kevin Cahill lost to the more progressive Sarahina Shrestha, a first-generation immigrant from Nepal, with a 600-vote lead. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper, at a meeting of the Valencia Village Board on June 14, Mayor Frank Bevins announced the village's 2021 drinking water quality report is now available. According to the report, all levels of chemicals tested, and I quote, were within acceptable limits with the exception of third quarter PFOS samples from well one, end quote. That well has since been taken out of service, and village officials are currently working with an engineer and the County Department of Health on a long-term solution. Earlier this year, water supplies in Valencia and New Lebanon were found to have PFOS levels that exceeded the state maximum contaminant level. The new report shows levels of copper from, and I quote, corrosion of household plumbing system, end quote, in the system. Those levels of copper are at, and I quote, action level, end quote, meaning, and I quote, the concentration of a contaminant which, if succeeded, triggers treatment or other requirements. The Valencia water system is responsible for providing high-quality drinking water, but cannot control the variety of materials used in plumbing components, end quote. At the time of the meeting, Bevins also discussed a state program to help residents pay their water and sewer bills. The mayor said he has posted information on the village website about the Household Water Assistance Program, intended to help households with past due bills. Bevins said the state pays the village directly. To be eligible for the program, residents must qualify based on income, household size, and amount owed to water and sewer providers. Read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Ariel Zangla is reporting for the Daily Freeman that U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer announced June 28th that the Castle Point VA Medical Center in Dutchess County will remain open. The Independent Asset and Infrastructure Review Commission had previously called on the Department of Veteran Affairs to submit a proposal that recommended closing Castle Point and relocating services. Subsequently, key Senate leaders and members of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee said they would not support the commission's proposal moving forward, according to a press release from Schumer's office. That decision led to the preserving health care services for nearly 7,000 Hudson Valley veterans, the release said. Quote, after months of fighting, I am pleased to announce the Castle Point VA Medical Center is staying open and right where it is, unquote, Schumer said in a statement. He said the federal government should invest further in bolstering veteran health care facilities in the Hudson Valley, a sentiment repeated by Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro. He said he hopes the federal government would see the value of Castle Point and build on it as a foundation for increasing veterans' health care, including the expanded mental health care. Democrat Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan called the decision to keep the Castle Point Center open, quote, a huge win for the Hudson Valley and for veterans and their families across the nation, unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting state police from the Livingston Barracks, as well as the State Police Forensic Investigation Center, have arrested a 32-year-old Albany man for making a terroristic threat and falsely reporting an incident, both felonies. In August 2021, Columbia County 911 dispatched troopers to the Chatham Public Library on Woodbridge Avenue in the village after a bomb threat was received. Police evacuated the village, the nearby Chatham Middle School, and the garage.
Following a 10-month investigation, police arrested Siddharth Dubey on the charge that he allegedly made the threats. Dubey was arraigned and released on his own recognizance, pending a future court appearance. And you can read more at MidHudsonNews.com.
Scott Stafford reports for the Berkshire Eagle that work on the Main Street Bridge in Williamstown, Massachusetts has begun, affecting the flow of traffic on Route 2. Crews have shifted the lanes to allow for work on the southern side of the span, where support structures are in place. According to information from the Massachusetts Department of Transportation, the project calls for the removal of the existing bridge's superstructure and substructure. Work will continue into May 2026. The bridge that crosses the Green River will be replaced in stages in an effort to maintain two lanes of travel as much as possible. The road will likely be closed five times during construction for 24 hours or less at a time, and traffic detoured over Cole Avenue to allow for the erection of bridge beams and the initial curing of the concrete deck. The plan is a complicated total replacement project, including bridge reconstruction, roadway reconstruction, drainage modifications, pavement markings, landscaping, and other tasks. Mass DOT spokesperson Judith Reardon Riley said in a temporary pedestrian bridge will be installed on the south side of the span to ensure that pedestrians can continue to cross during construction. Northern Construction is the main contractor. The bid price for the project was $5.2 million. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Ryan Whalen is reporting for State of Politics. Under federal legislation, people convicted of domestic violence have been banned from possessing guns if they were married, lived with, or shared a child with the person they committed the crime against. However, advocates for survivors point out there is a significant loophole in the law. YWCA of Niagara Vice President of Programs Mary Brennan Taylor said, and I quote, "The if I can't have her, nobody can attitude that we see so often with abusers can certainly apply to people in a dating relationship," end quote. Brennan Taylor said that while the law did not account for abusers in a romantic relationship who did not meet one of the three stipulations, the federal gun package signed recently by the president would instead only require a victim to prove the relationship. Brennan Taylor said, and I quote, "This is a very positive thing for women across the country who are in a life-threatening situation day in and day out and currently have no protections," end quote. Currently, 31 states prohibit domestic abusers from having guns, and the law in New York does close the boyfriend loophole. Brennan Taylor said the federal action is still important and welcome. She said, and I quote, "This is going to make it nationwide and save thousands of lives." According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 1,000 women are killed by their abusers with a gun every year, and about half of those victims are not married to the killer. Read the full story at nystateofpolitics.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 82 degrees. Wednesday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m., then a slight chance of showers between 9 p.m. and midnight. It will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 58 degrees. And on Thursday, sunny with a high near 84 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly clear with the temperature low of around 63 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Wednesday, June 29th, tune in to all sorts of creative community shows and voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. including at 11 a.m. It's time for one of the first shows from Kurt Galschuk on the station. His program is called Talk Radio. It only airs 4 times a year. It considers words as sound, sound as communication, communication as art, and art as words. That's at 11 a.m. Then at noon, it's time for Spike Priggen and the Bedazzled Radio Hour, which goes on for 2 hours, live from Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill. At 4 p.m., WGXC Afternoon Show is live from Acre. At 7 p.m., the Off the Hook program is simulcast from WBAI in New York City. It's from the Hacker Quarterly 2600, and it's all about technology issues. And at 8 p.m., tune in Rock and Roll High School, live from Hudson with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanevskaya on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The legendary 1970s, early 1980s band Bush Tetras from New York City are back, with founding members Cynthia Slay and Pat Place performing with R.B. Corbett from King Missile and Pussy Galore and Steve Shelley from Sonic Youth on a tour this summer that stops in Kingston on July 23rd at Tubby's. The show is at 8 p.m. July 23rd with the Bush Tetras, and you can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
You like music?
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues right here on WGXC. The show is a monthly roundup of new offerings from the worlds of psych, indie, jangle pop, experimental music, and folk, bolstered with enough classic fodder to make them stick.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
How can you say no to that?
Hello, and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, June 29th. Early morning temperatures range from 51 degrees in Durham to 57 in Germantown. Soil is 64 degrees. Increasing cloud cover today will keep conditions from getting uncomfortably hot. A high of 83 is expected at 3 p.m. Just before dark, a small chance of rain rolls through. Overnight, temperatures fall to 57 degrees, then bounce back up, reaching 83 degrees tomorrow afternoon. And that will feel warmer than today because there will be a lot more direct sunlight. 59 degrees overnight takes us into a hot Friday with a high of 92. Friday night, rain and thunder will be around as temperatures fall to 70 degrees. Rain lingering through Saturday with a high of 82. And that means if your AC isn't up and running yet, Friday's probably going to be your tipping point. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:49 a.m., then low tide at 10:46 a.m. High tide again at 4:28 p.m., then low tide once again at 10:35 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 73 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:21 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see a pretty quiet planetary neighborhood. Solar wind speed is currently 505.7 kilometers per second at 5.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 71. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Meyer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The show is a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more that airs on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 4 a.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. Keep tuned in to 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wavefarm radio app on your smartphone. Our website is wgxc.org.
Are you tired of your flying saucer always breaking down on your way to Mars?
Wish you could get more bang for your whoopee at the gas pump?
Well, here at Flying Saucer Mart, we have the perfect flying saucer for you.
It goes as fast as light. It comes in a variety of colors and only costs you 75 whoopee.
Come down to 375 Bionic Ave in Pluto City and fly home with a new used flying saucer today.
If you like the way you're feeling tonight, then just keep dancing. There's a tension in the air tonight, but it's only the moment. It's the same as always there, just really pay attention. Yeah, there's a tension in the air tonight, and it ain't imaginary. It's the same as always there, yeah, but only just barely.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. We're going to tell you about what's playing in the theaters right now. And I'm going to start with the Wyndham Movie Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have the new Baz Luhrmann Elvis movie. We have Jurassic Park, Jurassic World. World Dominion.
Yep, you got it. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
There's no title on the poster. They just show the poster on their website and there's no title on the poster.
You're on your own.
And then we have Disney and Pixar's Lightyear. So those are the three movies playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. You can find out more at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WyndhamTheater.com.
I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson, which is otherwise known as the Multiplex on Fairview. Oh, we have The Black Phone, Elvis, Lightyear, Top Gun Maverick, Jurassic World Dominion, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and Minions, The Rise of Gru. So you can find out those specific showtimes at spotlightcinemas.com/Hudson. You can also just Google Spotlight Cinemas Hudson and that'll get you there too.
Nice. The fascination that this nation, I guess, and actually the world has with Minions is just, I mean, is there a long paper about it or a book? Or
great question. People love Minions.
I know. It's almost like a toy mania kind of thing, but totally. It's just memes and pictures.
Yeah. Even my mom loves the Minions. She does not do any of like the memes, like, you know, like a lot of like some older people on Facebook like.
Yeah.
But she just really likes the movies. And I find that so very sweet.
I know. What is it?
It's
people
weird.
People are really drawn to them.
People love the Minions.
I find it so fascinating. We'll have to deep dive into that another time.
Yes, someday we'll do. We'll do an unpacking of the Minions.
Minions only episode.
Yeah, perfect. Can't wait.
All right, so I'm going to tell you about what's playing this week. Oh my gosh, this week at the Highway Drive-In. They are now open. Every night except Monday nights.
Yay!
So this is the shows for Friday through Thursday, June 24th to June 30th. We have on screen one, Jurassic World Dominion and Top Gun Maverick. Screen two, Disney's Lightyear and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Screen three is The Black Phone and Jurassic World Dominion. And screen four is Elvis and A Star is Born. Hmm. And you can find out more at highwaydrivein.com. That's HIWAYdrivein.com.
I will now tell you about what's playing at the Crandall in Chatham. As always, it's many things with very specific dates. So we have Top Gun Maverick, Crimes of the Future, Hit the Road, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, The Biggest Little Farm, Bitterbrush, The Wobblies, Elvis, The Phantom of the Open, not how I thought that sentence would end, and then a couple of other things that are all coming later in the month, so I will let you find out about those for yourself, and you can look up those specific showtimes at crandalltheater.org.
I feel like they're always playing Biggest Little Farm.
I don't even know what I'm like. I'm sure I've read those words more than once, but I simply can't. They don't stay.
It's a documentary about a couple that buys a farm and runs a farm. And I haven't seen it well enough or I haven't seen it at all, so I don't know if it's like I can make fun of them for being.
Maybe it's like a really nice those story.
Types.
Yeah. But maybe it's not.
Yeah, maybe they're, not,
They might deserve our derision. It's really hard to tell.
It's hard to tell. I'll have to see Biggest Little Farm.
Yeah.
All right. So last but not least on my list of movie theaters to tell you about, I have Drive-In 32, otherwise known as the Greenville Drive-In. And this weekend, the July 4th weekend, they are playing the Muppet Movie on July 1st and July 2nd. And Midnight Run on July 2nd and July 3rd. And you can find out more about show times and tickets and all that at drivein32.com.
Oh, God, what a great time to go to the drive-in. So now I shall tell you our very last theaters. It's the Upstate Theaters in Rhinebeck and Saugerties. So at the Star Cinema in Rhinebeck, we have Neptune Frost, Memoria, Amelie, Cat Video Fest, and Brian and Charles.
I kind of want to see Brian and Charles.
I do too. It looks kind of cute. And then over at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have Mr. Malcolm's List, another Cat Video Fest. RRR is playing again, thank God. Everything Everywhere All at Once is still hanging out there if you haven't seen it yet. Elvis, Cha-Cha Real Smooth, and Jurassic World Dominion. And you can find out all of that info at upstatefilms.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Tuesday, June 28th was primary voting day in New York State, but the experience is not the same for everyone. Our producer, Blaze Bryant, was not happy about his experience, and he joins us to talk about it now. Welcome, Blaze.
Kaylin, Sina, thank you very much for having me, and that was well put, Kaylin, in your introduction. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm Blaze Bryant. I am a co-host and producer here at Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and in addition, I am a disability rights advocate. I am a person who was born completely blind, and I voted for the first time in Rensselaer County, which is entirely different from Albany County, where I used to live, because they use a different machine. In Albany County, they use a machine called the AutoMark, which is truthfully what is used in most of New York State. Not Rensselaer County, though. They use a machine called the ImageCast, which is cheaper in every aspect. The machine did not work. It is, and you can tell just by feeling the machine that it is made much more cheaply than is the AutoMark. I also dealt with some pretty ableist poll workers as well. I was greeted with the question of, can you see? Which the answer is no, because you literally cannot get more blind than me. So that was just the first domino in the frustration of the falling dominoes, which then led to the machine didn't work and just being talked around instead of talked to, just all felt very disingenuous, especially when you consider Rensselaer County, and Hudson Mohawk Magazine has done extensive coverage in the past about this, with the voter disenfranchisement in terms of putting polling places in inaccessible spots to transportation. So this was just, at least it felt to me, as a newbie to the county, kind of an extension of the track record.
So just to give a better overview for our listeners, are all election stations required to have accessible equipment and trained staff on hand?
All election stations must have accessible voting machines that are working, which is part of the Help America Vote Act, which where I was today because the machine did not work. Well, that was a clear violation of the Help America Vote Act. And yes, poll workers are supposed to receive training on the machines. Actually, one of them, and there was one good poll worker who said to me, you know, I'm looking through the book and everything, and actually, I don't know how people with disabilities vote on these things because they're so nuanced. And that was kind of a very interesting reaction where, because honestly, like, that's not something I should hear. The machine should be working. Mm-hmm. And to hear, mm-hmm. oh, wow, I can't believe it's not working, and how do people with disabilities do this, is extremely, extremely disconcerting. And I'm very glad, Sina, that you squeezed me into the show here, because we had a conversation just about 3 hours before we started taping about this whole situation. I called you and said, hey, can you put me on the show so we can talk about this? Because it's something that needs to be talked about. And one of the things that I said in a personal Facebook post was, ableism is the best, or there's no greater waste of time than ableism. And it's so true. Because had this experience not happened, A, we wouldn't be having this conversation, and B, Rensselaer County Board of Elections will not be receiving, or would not be receiving, an email or a letter of some sort. And bad radio stuff on me for not silencing my stuff. So sorry about that. But yeah, it's just incredibly frustrating, because you can complain to organizations, you know, like the Department of Justice or Disability Rights New York, who are supposed to follow through on complaints, which...
Right, I'm you're talking sure about the complaint and the letter, and you yeah. mentioned that that was actually the reaction from the poll workers, right? Because you talk about when this was happening, what did they suggest, and yeah, sounds like it was a kind of on you then to do the work.
Yeah, yeah, well, it, and unfortunately, it's usually on the disabled person to do the work, and actually... another suggestion that one of the poll workers gave me, you can't make this crap up, is, oh, well, you know, you could just take the ballot and, you know, next time, you know, sit down and do it at the kitchen table and mail it in. I mean, what in the hell kind of privacy is that? All I wanted to do was vote like a quote-unquote non-disabled person does. I'm guessing that the two of you either participated in early voting or voted on primary election day today, and you didn't have any issues.
I actually did have issues because I had to strike my ballot. I had a little mark on it, and it took him about 20 minutes because he had to call the Board of Elections in all in Rensselaer County to figure out what was going on with their. Anyways, I did vote eventually, but
It's certainly so, easier.
Yes. Yes, it's certainly easier. Did you end up voting, or did they figure out a way for you to, you know, what did they suggest you do when the machine was not working?
So they sent a technician. My fiance was waiting out in the car. I called her and said, hey, this is what's going on. They're sending a technician. And she goes, well, I'll just, you know, come in and help you vote, because she took time out of her day to bring me there. And everyone's time is valuable. And it would not have been fair to make her wait. So she came in and helped me, fill out the ballot. I did not sit around and wait for the technician to come because, again, a few minutes, you know, you never know when that few minutes is. Is it actually going to be a few minutes, which in my definition is about 15, 20 minutes tops. Well, beyond that, then it becomes more than a few. And I'm sorry, I was already at the mercy of one crap show. I frankly was just ticked off and wanted to get the hell out of there.
You had a suggestion on what kind of training and what kind of employment could create better experiences in voting. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, well, twofold, Sina. One.
Oh, and we have about 2 minutes, 3 minutes left.
Thank you for telling me. So, twofold quickly. One is to ensure more poll workers with disabilities participate, because the unfortunate reality is the unemployment rate for people with disabilities is far greater than the employment rate for people with disabilities. Secondly, the other thing that needs to happen is I think there needs to be some sort of a legislative process or something that says, okay, in New York State, we use the automark. We're not using the image cast, because one state, one uniform voting procedure. And heck, you know, we're talking about states and voting procedures and whatnot. I mean, it really should be a federal thing, because there just needs to be one standard across the board for everything. And it's got to start somewhere, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you so much, Blaze. Sounds like a very frustrating experience, and we appreciate you coming on and talking about advocacy. And
hopefully we can continue this conversation in the future.
We certainly will. Thank you for having me on, and I look forward to be back in the co-host saddle with Bria Barthel in a couple of weeks.
That's right. 2 weeks, you'll be back. So, Blaze Bryant, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you both. Good to be here.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
tristes en el mar. Luminoso tu ojo queda pegado con el mío. Y sé que solo tú y yo.
Do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Interesting, boring, really, 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 really boring.
It would be about wonderful things. It would be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Awesome.
All the way down.
But only dogs can hear.
Turn his...
I turned it down. Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
The rioters chanted, "Hang Mike Pence." The President of the United States, Donald Trump, said that, quote, "Mike deserves it," and that those rioters were not doing anything wrong.
The January 6th committee held its sixth televised hearing yesterday, where Wyoming Republican Representative Liz Cheney, the committee's vice chair, revealed that President Donald Trump allegedly endorsed the murder of Vice President Mike Pence. Former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson described how President Trump allegedly planned to travel to the Capitol during the attack and detailed his efforts to support the rioters. Corroborating previous administration officials' testimony, Hutchinson said the White House knew well in advance that violence was possible.
As an American, I was disgusted. It was unpatriotic. It was un-American. We were watching the Capitol building get defaced over a lie.
The Biden administration has rejected a proposal to place abortion clinics on federal land, an idea floated by progressive lawmakers to skirt state-level abortion bans. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters Tuesday there were dangerous ramifications to doing so, contending that women and providers who aren't federal employees may still be prosecuted under state-level bans. But Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra says the feds are acting to increase abortion access.
HHS will take steps to increase access to medication abortion. Second, I am directing the Office for Civil Rights within HHS to ensure patient privacy and non-discrimination for patients seeking reproductive health care, as well as for providers who offer that reproductive health care service.
Becerra says the department will also direct the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to, quote, take every legally available step to protect family planning care. Meanwhile, Wisconsin's Democratic leaders are suing to overturn the state's 1849 abortion ban. Democratic Attorney General Josh Call says a 1985 law that guarantees access to abortions up to viability supersedes the 173-year-old law.
We've also argued that Wisconsin's abortion ban has fallen into disuse and can no longer be enforced under Wisconsin law.
The Supreme Court has made it more difficult for prosecutors to bring charges against doctors operating so-called pill mills. In its ruling, the court's justices gave two doctors, who federal prosecutors charged abused their medical license to overprescribe opioids, the opportunity to challenge their convictions. The G7 summit wrapped up yesterday. The focus of this year's meeting of world leaders was largely on the ongoing invasion of Ukraine by Russia. President Joe Biden says transatlantic unity is necessary to respond to Russian aggression.
We're standing as one to support Ukraine and to enhance our own deterrence and defense capabilities.
For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Jonah Chester. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. An Associated Press reporter posted on Facebook on June 27th, quote, if you send me your address, I will mail you abortion pills, unquote. The post was taken down by Facebook within 1 minute, with the account giving a, quote, warning, unquote, status. As Facebook says, it violated its standards on, quote, guns, animals, and other regulated goods, unquote. So the same reporter then posted on Facebook, quote, if you send me your address, I will mail you a gun, unquote. This post was allowed to stay online. Then the reporter posted on Facebook, quote, if you send me your address, I will mail you weed, unquote. That post was also allowed to remain online. Mailing abortion pills is legal. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives says, quote, a non-licensee may not transfer a firearm to a non-licensed resident of another state. A non-licensee may mail a shotgun or rifle to a resident of their own state or to a licensee in any state. Mailing cannabis across state lines violates federal law. Andy Stone, a spokesperson for Meta, Facebook's parent company name, said in a tweet June 27th that the company does not allow individuals to gift or sell pharmaceuticals on its platform, but will allow content that shares information on how to access pills. But, Stone said, mistakes have been made by Meta. Quote, we've discovered some instances of incorrect enforcement and are correcting these, unquote, Stone said in a tweet. West Virginia and Tennessee are already prohibiting prescribing abortion pills through telemedicine consultation and the mail, even though Attorney General Merrick Garland said June 24th that, quote, states may not ban mifepristone based on disagreement with the FDA's expert judgment about its safety and efficacy. Mifepristone is a prescription abortion pill. Supreme Court on June 24th allowed states to ban abortions. Go to waveform.org for more radio news.
With a smile on the face, they said, we're your brothers from a faraway place. The Indians greeted them with wide open arms. Simple-minded and trusting to see through the charms. Ex-hoodlums and jailbirds with backgrounds of crime, they had a chance to breathe freely for the very first time. Taken for granted,
not what it seems. They landed at Plymouth, whoa, with a little smile on the face. They said, we're your brothers from a faraway place. I know the Indians greeted them with wide open arms. Two simple-minded, oh, to see through the charms. Slowly but surely, in came the fork tongue to trick those who trusted, humiliate.